In 1993, one of the most popular advertising campaigns in America was the Got Milk advertising campaign. The Got Milk advertising campaign was a campaign that encouraged the consumption of milk. This advertising campaign depicted the necessity of drinking milk through a question: got milk? Most of these ads, particularly in magazines, featured a celebrity of some sort, whether it was an athlete, an actor, or an actress, who would have a milk mustache from drinking milk. They would stand there with a glass in their hand and would ask the question, got milk? Has anybody seen that commercial? Yeah. Jason hasn't seen that commercial. So we're all dating ourselves, but we've seen that commercial. The premise of the ad was not just to advertise about milk, but also to send us a message that we need milk because it does the body good. As we look at our text this morning, we could apply that same slogan with a minor twist. So with that being said, I would like to talk to you for a few moments from the topic, got fruit? Life after resurrection. Got fruit? Life after resurrection. So I ask you this morning, where's your fruit? You see, what we can learn from this passage of scripture, that the life of a believer is characterized by the fruit we bear. The evidence of the Christian life is a life of productivity. We should be a people full of produce. It's our ability to be productive. You see, when we are productive, it will bring glory and honor to the kingdom of God. In the text, God is the vine grower, which means that these are his branches. And at all costs, he wants his branches to produce fruit. Just like us who will try to, and I say try because my husband and I, we are trying to grow some fruit in our house. Trying. But it's hard because we see, you know, it looks all beautiful. The leaves are green and they're budding, and next thing you know, they're drooping, and like, what happened? So now we're trying strawberries and what is it? Avocado and blueberries. So we got the strawberry plant and the blueberry plant from Lidl. Did y'all see the little plants they had in Lidl? No? Yeah, so we grabbed them like because they were already started. So we put them in the dirt. And we're starting to see them grow. But as they start to grow, then they start to wither away. And so that's what we're talking about, us bearing fruit. Just like we want our trees and our plants to bear fruit, God wants us as Christians to bear fruit. If we are in the kingdom of God, our calling in life is to bear fruit. And I want you to understand that when I refer to the term fruit, I'm not only talking about the amount of people that you bring to Christ, but I'm talking about the Christ-like quality of character and living that comes through us as we live out our faith. It is what God is able to bring out of you and through you. God wants you to bear fruit. You see, the branches in the text represent us as disciples. Disciples are followers of Christ. Discipleship is the process by which disciples grow in the Lord Jesus Christ and are equipped by the Holy Spirit to become more Christ-like. The evidence of a disciple is not that you have a Bible in your hand. The evidence is not in the fact that you even come to church every Sunday. It's not in the fact that you've been here all your life. It's not in the fact that you're singing in the choir. The evidence that you are a disciple is in the fact that you abide in Christ and that you bear fruit in the life that you live. As we examine the text, we can clearly see that God is trying to put us through a process of development. What do I mean by that? Well, he does not just want us to produce fruit. When you read the text, there is a sequence of events. We are to go from fruit to more fruit to much fruit. We, as the branches, are called to bear fruit. We will be pruned so that we can bear more fruit. We in Christ, over our lifetime, should bear much fruit. We can't settle just for having fruit when there's more. And why settle for more when there's much more? Is there anybody that can say, I want much more? I want much more joy. I want much more love. I want much more blessings. I want much more anointing. Now, if you want much more, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. So let's take a look at what the text says and how we can bear much fruit. Point number one, God would rather work with you than to waste you. God would rather work with you than to waste you. The text says that God removes every branch that bears no fruit. It does not mean he takes it away, but he removes it. Some translation says he takes away, but the NRSV, which we consider to be a good translation, and it says he removes or repositions. See, what we have here is not the vine grower who cuts off the branches on the vine. And with me doing that study, I noticed, because that was something that I was doing wrong with the plants, cutting them off, cutting them off when they started to wilter away. But it says, God does not cut off the branch on the vine that are not producing, but the ones that get cut off and burnt are the ones that do not abide in the vine. So if you're not in the vine, you will be cut off. But those who are in the vine will stay. You know, if you go down to verse 6, you'll discover the ones that get burnt are not the ones who don't bear fruit, but the ones who do not abide in the vine. Understand? Because it says, whoever does not abide in me is thrown away. So if we do not abide in Christ, then we will be thrown away. It's right there in the text. If we look at this word removed, in the Greek, it means to resurrect. Resurrect is to bring back to life that which is dead. So the focus of the text is fruit bearing. It says, those who do not bear fruit, I remove. In other words, the vine grower does not cut off the branch because it has not bore any fruit. But what he will do to a fruitless branch is gently remove by lifting it to the sun so that it could get some light, so it will have an opportunity to grow, because the vine grower loves it enough to reposition it so that it could get some light from the sun, because he knows that there is some life left in the vine somewhere. You see, that should have made someone get a little bit excited, because there have been some fruitless moments in our lives when we were not even thinking about doing the right thing. But I am so glad that we serve a God who loves us enough to give us another opportunity to do what he knows we were created to do. Does anybody know that the God we serve is a God of opportunity?
Amen.
He gave us another chance to get it right. He didn't cut me off and throw me away, but he said, there is something inside of you, but I just gotta lift you to the sunlight. That's why the song says, walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. God would rather work with you than to waste you. The second thing is, he has pruned you to develop you. Now watch this. Those who are bearing fruit, he prunes. Don't you know that God never leaves us alone? And I'm not talking about his presence, but I mean he's always working with us and on us. At every stage of our growth and development, God is working something in us and out of us. And I don't know about you, but at every stage of my life, God has his hands on me, molding me and shaping me into what he has called me to be. See, the text lets us know that if you are bearing fruit, then he knows that there is more in you. So watch the text. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You see, I like that, because God won't let us settle in mediocrity. God knows that there is more to me than what he has already done in me and for me. We are still a work in progress. But you know what? When God gets through with us, we shall come forth as pure gold. You see, the bottom line is that when we bear fruit, God has to prune us so that we don't miss out on bigger opportunities than ones we have already experienced. God says you've got fruit, but you have the potential to bear more fruit. Now understand this, the pruning process is a painful process, but it is necessary for our development. When the vine grower prunes a vine, he's cutting off unnecessary leaves that can hinder the growth and development of the vine and its ability to produce more fruit. God says in order to get us to produce more fruit, he has to cut out some stuff from us, cut off some stuff from out of our lives. And you often wonder, why am I going through this situation? Why am I the one going through that situation? Why am I the one suffering? Why am I the lonely one? Why am I this? Why am I that? Because sometimes those things that you go through, God has to prune you and allow you to go through it so that you can grow, that you can learn a lesson, that you can do better, that you can commune with God. Sometimes some of us don't even commune with God, but as soon as tragedy hits, soon as an unforeseen circumstance hits, God help me. God, I need you. So sometimes God will allow those things to happen to get your attention to say, I need you to communicate with me. I need you to grow a little closer with me. I need you to understand my word. Because I need you to go out and tell someone that I love them. How can you go and minister and talk to someone about what this good book says if you don't know what it says? That's how we bear more fruit. So God will cause circumstances. God will cause situations. And no one is exempt. The same thing you go through is the same thing I go through. The same thing we go through. No one's exempt. We're all getting pruned. But that's to draw us closer to God so that we can bear more fruit, that we can go out and stand on the word of God. We can go witness to someone who's standing on the street corner. We can witness and help someone who needs food, who needs clothing. But understand, God has to cut off some of those leaves. And you know, those leaves look good. When you see a beautiful plant, you're like, oh, those leaves look good. But the leaves will give the branch a false look of being more than what it really is. But you see, the vine grower knows what a casual looker wouldn't know. People who are not into gardening will look at the leaves of our lives and think that we are mighty. We are a mighty, awesome branch. But the vine grower will say it's just leaves, giving that false appearance. Remember, God is the vine grower. So we may put on a show or put on the appearance of godliness to our brothers and sisters. But God says, I see the leaves. And I've got to cut them out. So the vine grower looks at the leaves that look good, but will know that the leaves are in the way of the growth and development of the fruit. So God will cut away stuff that you think makes you look good. Because it is in the way of what God wants to produce in your life. The last point is, if you want to bear much fruit, you have to be steady in spite of the struggle. When you abide in me, you bear much fruit. If you abide, you bear much fruit. I'm going to repeat it again, and I like to repeat to make sure everyone is understanding, that everyone gets it. If you abide, you bear much fruit. So that means if you abide in Christ, you will bear much fruit. Now, if you don't abide, what will you bear? Does anyone want to take a guess?
No.
Nothing. If you do not abide, you are not going to bear anything. Now, when you look at the text, you will discover that what is being discussed here are the rewards of an intimate union with Christ. It is a text about the benefits of spiritual fellowship. It's the benefits of being connected, not to the church, not to the pastor, but connected to Christ. Because if you stay connected with Christ, you will be connected to Christ's church. And if the truth be told, the reason why so many of us are so disconnected from the church is because we are disconnected from Christ. That's a powerful one. We used to see many people come, but they just stopped coming. Oh, I'll just come on a special occasion, or I'll just come this. They're not connected to Christ. Because if you're connected to Christ, then you want to come to Christ's church, and you want to come and sing in the choir. You want to come on Tuesday and serve to the homeless who needs food and clothing. You want to do more. You want to serve on Sunday mornings. You want to usher. You just want to do whatever your hands can do because you're connected with Christ. You even want to come to clean up the church. You want to come to hang the greens. You want to come to set up for Resurrection Sunday because you're connected to Christ. Let us wrap this up. To abide means to dwell, to stay, to hang in there no matter what comes your way to try to separate you. You can't let nothing separate you from Christ. Nothing, nobody, no one should separate you from Christ. In the text, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his departure. And really, beginning at chapter 14, when he says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places." And goes on to say that he prepares a place for us. And now in chapter 15, he's telling us to just abide in me. In other words, don't break away from the only source that can help you. He tells us to keep his commandments. So what he is telling his disciples, he's telling us today. That there will be some days where you are not going to want to act like the Christ you are trying to hang with. There will be moments that it will be very hard for you to hold your tongue. It will be very hard for you to keep your feet, your peace. It will be very hard for you not to go off on someone. It will be very hard. But Jesus said, in those moments, the only way not to fall is to abide in me. And he says, as long as you are in me, I am in you, I will give you the nutriments for what you need to remain strong when the storms of life are raging. So I close by asking you, got fruit? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word on this morning. Thank you for letting us know that we need to bear much fruit. God, I thank you for those who have received your word on this morning. God, bless us to abide in you, God. Show us and let us know how we should abide in you. Let us be more Christ-like. God, we thank you for the ministries that we have here in this church. And I pray that you would bless those ministries and the people that are associated with them, the hard workers. God, you know who they are. God, I ask that you bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say amen.